This morning we light our second candle on our Advent wreath. And for those who are already back at the coloring table, the theme of the second week is peace. As we seek God's peace in our hearts, as we seek peace with one another. The second week of Advent, though, for those who are paying close attention to our liturgical year, always features John the Baptist. We're introduced in the Gospel of Luke to John the Baptist in a different way from the other accounts. Luke, who in telling the story of Jesus' life, his ministry, his death and resurrection, claims in his opening words in Luke chapter 1 that he's trying to offer a historical account to get all the details just right. And one of the things that you may have noticed in the reading of the gospel is that it begins by naming the rulers of the day, starting with the most important and powerful person, Emperor Tiberius. It says, in the 15th year of the rule of Tiberius. And then it goes on to say, when Pontius Pilate was the governor, so he was the appointed one locally from the Roman Empire. And then it lists three kings, King Herod, Philip, and one I'd never heard of. And then it talks about who was the high priest. So if the local kings of various regions who were allowed by Rome to remain in office, even though they had no power. And then the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. Caiaphas is the son-in-law of Annas, and he continues to be the high priest. And so the high priests were the ones who had religious authority over the temple and people's lives. Now, part of me sees what Luke is doing is just, this is how they marked time in the ancient world. They didn't have an agreed upon calendar or dating system, and so they would mark time by the rulers who were in place. But Luke is also doing something more subtle. He's setting up the ultimate contrast between the powers of the day, both Roman and Jewish, and the way in which God is entering into this world. And John plays a key role in demonstrating how God is showing up. Now, John the Baptist is the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah is a priest in the temple, not a high priest. He's one of many hundreds of priests. And very occasionally, the priest would get selected to lead worship in the temple. And when it was Zechariah's appointed time, by the way, this is all in Luke chapter 1 for those who would like to go back and read. When it's Zechariah is chosen, he gets a vision. An angelic visitor comes to Zechariah. He and his wife had been trying to have children and had been unable. See if this sounds familiar. And the angel, Gabriel, says to Zechariah that he will have a son. And Zechariah questions the angel. And so the angel makes him mute. Zechariah can no longer speak. In fact, he cannot speak until the child is born. And after the child is born, the people, the religious leaders, come to Elizabeth and say, "What is the name of your child?" And Zechariah, who cannot speak, writes, "His name is to be called John." And his voice opens up and he speaks a powerful prophecy, how this son, which was the word that was given to him by the angel, that this son will be the one to prepare hearts and minds and people for the coming of the Messiah. That John will be filled with the Holy Spirit. to bring parents back to their children, to bring the disobedient to the righteous ways of God, and to prepare the way of the Lord. John, in many ways, is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's speaking God's word to God's people. He's telling them to repent, to be baptized, and to get ready. For God is about to do a new thing. And it's done in the midst of this political hotspot where the Roman Empire has taken over Jerusalem and all of really the known world at this point, where the Jewish leaders who are complicit with the Romans and using their own people to collect taxes on behalf of the emperor, and the religious leaders have emphasized the ceremonies of the temple while neglecting love of neighbor and love of God. John, who is really nobody, goes to a nowhere place, the wilderness, and says, "Prepare, the Lord is coming." And he preaches a word of repentance and forgiveness of sins. A powerful message. A message of preparation and promise. The Lord is coming. Get ready. And this Messiah who will come will not come as a conquering king, will not come as a high priest, a governor, a king, or an emperor, but as a child. Born into poverty, born in the most humble way we can imagine, and yet filled with the power of God, filled with love and grace and mercy, and born to bring peace. Peace between God and humanity, peace between people. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Advent is a time for us to prepare. The Lord is coming. And the Lord is coming whether we're ready or not. But like John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness saying, "Prepare the way," that same message is for us, to get ready, to not be overwhelmed by the news of the day, to not be distracted by holiday parties and shopping and all the things that come with this time of year, but to truly and authentically prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord, to get ourselves on track, to be renewed in our faith, to walk with the Lord. The Messiah is coming. That's good news for us. That's good news for the world. For Jesus brings peace and hope and love and joy for all of us and for the world. May our hearts be made ready, and may we receive Christ in our hearts in a new way this year. Amen.